when we're going to overcome the dangers of samsara, there's another teaching, which is the wall or the fortress. We have seven dhammas or seven teachings which become a fortress for us, or a guard for us during the time that we practice, a way for us to overcome or to avoid the dangers, the 12 kinds of danger which we have to face in the future. And these seven things, when we practice them, they will be both a guard against the dangers and will be a means for us to escape or to go beyond ever having to meet with such dangers again. The seven things are hatha sanyato, number one, guarding our hands, or watching our hands, or keeping watch on the movements of our hands, the things which our hands do. Number two, pada sanyato, guarding our feet. Number three, sanyatattamo, guarding ourselves. Number four, achataratto, guarding our minds, and guarding what is within, guarding our internal self. And vaja sanyato, guarding our speech. And number six, susamahito, being internally composed, well composed inside. And number seven, eko santusito, being content with solitude, with being alone. And these seven things, the Lord Buddha said, are seven protections, a guard or a fortress or a wall which keeps danger out, keeps suffering away, which leads us to become free from all suffering in the future. Hatha sanyato means guarding what we do with our hands, because most of the good and evil which we do in the physical realm is with our hands. When we kill, it's normally with our hands. When we steal, it's normally with our hands, and so on. Many bad things come from our hands. But also in terms of meditation, simply watching what our hands are doing, because we use them more often than any part of our physical body, or we use them more than most parts of our physical body. And so we watch what are we doing with our hands when we're eating, when we're acting, whatever we do. Being aware of what our hands of our hands. Most important guard, most importantly, guard means guarding against evil, unwholesome acts of body that are done with the hand. This is something which, of course, protects us from many of the dangers of guilt or of punishment for wrongdoing. But it's also important for meditators that we are aware of the movements of our hands when we're eating, or when we're washing our clothes or brushing our teeth, or so on. Being aware of what our hands are doing, and we can make acknowledgement as we move. And then pada sanyato means watching our feet. So whereas we act mostly with our hands, we move around mostly with our feet. So we have to be careful about where we go and what we're doing. Why are we doing the things we're doing? And be careful not to let our feet take us into a place which is inappropriate. Let our feet do the walking. They might take us to, they could easily take us to a place which is inappropriate. And most often for meditators, when we walk, it's easy for our minds to wander into what they see and into the new experiences as we walk around. So it's important that when we're walking as meditators, that we're aware that we're walking. Wherever we walk, when we walk around the center, or in ordinary life, when we walk around to our various destinations, that we're aware of our feet. Walking. We should keep our minds in with the present moment so that they don't get caught up by the new experiences, the phenomena which arise, which come in as we walk around, as we go to a new place. If we guard our feet in this way, we can overcome many dangers as well. So that we don't let ourselves be taken away into places which are inappropriate. Guarding our feet doesn't just mean the feet, it means guarding our minds and guarding the place where we go, not letting ourselves go to the wrong place. But it also means guarding against all evil deeds which can be done with the feet. And then number three, vaca sanyato, watching our speech. So in ordinary life, this means guarding against telling lies or harsh speech, divisive speech, or useless speech. Guarding against all evil deeds which are done when we say bad things to people or about people behind their backs. Or when we try to deceive people or hurt other people with speech. But in meditation practice, it goes even further. And of course, meditators are expected to talk as little as possible, to talk only as necessary. When it's important to speak, then speak. When it's not necessary to speak, there's no reason except the pleasure which comes from speaking, then we avoid. Or we refrain from such speech. The reason being was, as we talk, and if we tend to speak too much, we find ourselves becoming distracted and find more and more thoughts arising, and our minds are not able to calm down. And this can be a danger. This is a way to fall into some of the dangers. It's easy for us to get lost back in the world, to get caught up in the world again, based on our speech, based on simply talking too much, talking more than is required. Find ourselves talking about things which are unrelated to meditation, and suddenly we get caught up in a whirlpool or caught up by a shark or a crocodile or something. As I talked about in the dangers for someone who is on a boat, same are the dangers for one who is swimming across the ocean, of samsara. We have to watch our hands, our feet, and our mouth. And number four, we have to watch ourselves. This means apart from these three things, we have to watch our whole self. We have to watch our eyes, guard our eyes. For meditators, the best thing, and for monks, of course, as well, is that we watch the ground where we're walking. And Mahasi Sayadaw said, even though you have perfectly good vision, you should act as if you are blind. And even if we can hear perfectly, we should act as if we're deaf. Even though we have such strength of body, this is guarding ourselves. We give up this strength of body, and we move slowly. We act as if we're sick, as if we're an old person with very little strength. We act with very little strength, thinking that if we were to get caught up in our strength or get caught up in rapid movements, we would lose our concentration and our mindfulness. And it could be a danger for us in our practice. Of course, there are many evils which come from not guarding oneself. If we don't guard where we look, if we don't guard what we do with our body, we can end up in great danger, both in terms of suffering and in terms of attraction. We can fall into desire for things that we see, or intoxication with our own strength. We have to guard ourselves and be aware of our body as it's moving. When we bend, we acknowledge bending. When we stretch, stretching. When we turn around, turning. When we reach for something, reaching, and so on. And the six senses, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, feeling, think, this is guarding ourselves. Number five is being internally, guarding ourselves internally means guarding the heart. So once we have a watch, we have a good hold on all of the external parts of what makes us who we are, then we guard also internally, we guard our mind. Because even if we're not doing anything bad with our hands or our feet or any other part of the body or our speech, if our mind is distracted or is angry or is lustful, or greedy, or deluded, we have wrong view or conceit, or we're holding on to wrong ideas, or holding on to ourselves, judging ourselves or other people. These can be, of course, a great danger for us, lead us into great suffering, and will, of course, later lead us to do bad things in the future by speech or action. So we have to guard internally, and when our mind goes off into bad things, we have to catch it. When we like something, we say liking, liking. If we don't like something, we say disliking, disliking. If we feel drowsy or lazy, we say lazy, lazy. If we feel distracted, distracted. If we have doubts, doubt about this or that, or ourselves or the practice, doubting, doubting. Guarding ourselves internally from falling into evil, unwholesome states. And number six, susamahito, means developing. Not only should we guard our minds against unwholesome states, we should develop in our minds all sorts of wholesome states. Meaning, we should practice tranquility meditation and we should practice insight meditation. Or if we have only short time, then we can practice simply insight meditation. But at any rate, we have to practice to calm our minds and to develop insight and characteristics which are impermanent, suffering, and non-self. This is susamahito. We develop a sense of awareness of calm and peaceful and equanimous awareness, where we don't look at things as good or bad. We don't have any more judgment for things. Our mind is balanced and is well composed and is very focused internally, seeing everything as simply phenomena which arise and cease at every moment, and not holding on to anything as permanent, as satisfying, or as self. This is the development of the practice of the four foundations of mindfulness, which we're undertaking. And the last weapon, or the last guard which we have, is being content with seclusion, being happy being alone. When we are content with staying to ourselves without getting involved or actively involved with other people, this is the time when we can really come to see the truth about ourselves. But if we're thinking about or talking to or being around other people, it's very difficult for us to see our own emotions or our own problems, because we're always looking at the faults and the problems of other people. And as long as we look at the faults and the problems of other people, it's very difficult for us to come to terms with our own faults and our own problems. For this reason, the Lord Buddha was always very appreciative of solitude, finding a place and finding time to look inside, to see ourselves. And the Lord Buddha was always praising in solitude, whenever we could find time or find a place to be alone and not have to get involved with people through love or lust, through desire or attraction, or out of anger or frustration at other people, trying to change them or improve them or fix their problems and their faults. When we stay to ourselves, then we only have our own problems to deal with. And this makes it very easy for us, or much easier for us, to improve ourselves. This is a weapon. If we get involved with other people, it can be a great danger. It would be a cause for great danger to arise. So these seven things, they go along with the teaching on the 12 dangers. These are our weapons. Guarding our hands, really, truly watching what our hands are doing. Guarding our feet, watching where we're going. Guarding our speech, and trying not to say a lot, or say things which are unimportant. Guarding ourselves, the rest of our body. Guarding our mind internally, and developing our mind in terms of tranquility and wisdom and insight. And keeping to ourselves, staying in seclusion. One of our greatest weapons is viveka-buddha, the weapon of solitude. So this is the teaching I'd like to give for today. Now we'll continue with mindful prostration, walking and sitting.